It's been really cool. Last week was probably one of the coolest nights in youth group I've had all year. It was just a really neat thing to see how the Lord worked. And some of you, you were like, yes, last week I gave my life to the Lord. Some of you said, no, last week, like, God did some work in me, and I am trying to walk in a different direction. We talked about repentance, meaning that it doesn't mean that you end life, that you stop living. It just means you start living for right things. And some of you last week, if you remember, some of you last week were like, yes, that's me. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to live for the right things. And we've been going and talking about baptism. We talked about it last week. We're talking about it this week. And then next week, just a reminder, next week, we are going to have a large tank right here. And we are going to baptize students who say, yes, I'm following Jesus and I want to be baptized. That we're going to do that for the first time ever at the Harbor. That has never been done in this environment. Your family is invited. You're invited. Your friends are invited to come be a part of that. And it's from 6 to 7:30. Everybody together that considers River Oak Student Ministry home, like, you are invited to that. And we're going to be a part of that. Right now, we already have like 13 or 14 students signed up for that. And so tonight, at the end of the message tonight, if you want to sign up for baptism, you come up and please, even if you took a form, please fill this out. Even if you're unsure, but you're like, I think I want to be baptized. I need to talk to my parents. I don't know yet. Please fill this out. And then we will reach out this week. And if it's a no, it's a no, and that's okay. But if it's like, yes, I do, then you're going to be on our list. But we need to know who is on the list. And so please make sure you fill the clipboard portion out. And then if you're like, yes, I do, or I think I do, please take one of these home. Make sure you bring that back next week or midweek. If you took one last week, maybe you could text your parents and be like, hey, bring it up as you pick me up if you are not riding with yourself or someone else, like if they're picking you up. But do that. Please fill out. That's going to help us out a whole lot. But at the end of tonight, you're going to have an opportunity for that. But tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about this word acceptance. This word acceptance. See, a lot of us, we have things that happen in our lives and things that happen that maybe no one else knows about. Maybe it's things we're guilty for or guilty of, I feel guilt about. Maybe it's things we're ashamed of. That we have things that maybe like no one else in the world really understands or knows. And so what we have is we have acceptance problems. That's what guilt brings. That's what shame brings. It brings an acceptance problem. That we believe that if someone knew everything about us, they may not accept us. They may not truly care about us. They may not truly want to be around us. And the reason that is because that's the way our world functions. Like if you think about any friendship, you think about any relationship, any boyfriend, girlfriend thing, any class, any team, any relationship that you have where you go and you say hi to someone and they say hi to you back and y'all know each other's name and it's not just passing in a hallway, it works this way. How you are accepted works a certain way. And it causes us to hide our shame and our guilt. Here's the way it works. To be accepted by our world. To be accepted by our world first. It's coming. Here it is. First, the way you behave is observed. To be accepted by our world, the way you behave is observed. I want you to think about your friends. Y'all most likely act the same way. Maybe you're all respectful. I know people that are like, I don't like hanging out with her because she is rude to everyone. Was she nice to you? Yeah, she's nice to me, but man, she's like rude to everyone. I don't want to, right? The way someone behaves is observed. Maybe they're obnoxious to you or annoying. Maybe they act just like you and you love it. Maybe they're very kind. Maybe they steal a lot. Maybe they are dishonest and not trustworthy. And you see that in their actions. That the way you behave is observed. That people see you, your friends, your family, the people around you, they observed your behavior before they really knew you. That before you know me, like I get a lot of this look from students, it's like this, like, and the reason why is because like a 6'6" dude came up and was like, whoa, what's up? And they're like, oh, shoot, right? And they're scared, like, especially if I go on a mission trip, like I went to Africa, and I was like, hey, buddy, And like the kids run home. They run all the way. They don't stop. They run all the way home and they get in their huts and I don't see them again. They're afraid I'm going to like, I don't know what, eat them. I'm not sure. Right. And they like, they run away. Like the way someone behaves is observed. And then the thought is it either is similar to me or it's wrong. It's similar to me or it's wrong. There's no like, hey, it's different and okay. Usually it's similar to the way I act or it's wrong, right? You do that about everyone. People do that about you. And then if that's okay, the way that you believe is evaluated. Hey, do you believe the same things I believe? Do you think about the same things I think about? Hey, do you believe that cheating is wrong or do you believe cheating is right? Maybe either one of those, you're gonna be like, yeah, we could get along. Hey, do you believe that gossip is a good thing? Like, are you a fan of that? Can I gossip with you? Or are you going to turn me down, right? The things we believe are evaluated. How we believe, what we believe, it happens in the church all the time, that if someone comes into the Christian body, and they act different, all the Christians are like, ooh, who is that, right? And they observe, and then they're like, man, they don't act the way we act. And they must not believe the thing we believe. And so we evaluate it, right? Do they believe the way I believe? And again, when someone evaluates that about you, eyes right here, hear it. When someone evaluates that about you, they either say, you believe similar to me, or you believe completely different than me. And it's wrong. It's either similar or it's wrong. And here it is. Check it. But if you behave the way they behave and you believe the way they believe, then here's the final thing. Then you are accepted. Then you are accepted. If you behave the way I behave, you believe the way I believe, then you are accepted. And that's our acceptance problem. Is we feel like we have to conform to the people around us in order to be accepted. And here's the thing. Our whole world, we view everything through that lens. Hey, am I acting cool enough? Am I talking cool enough? Am I being the person that they think that I should be in order to hang out with them? If they know how I really feel, if they know what's really true about me, and they probably aren't going to like it. This is like kind of a dumb example, but I grew up in Texas, like I said last week, and so we listen to a lot of country music. I'm going to just tell you real quick, I am a huge fan of rap music. Like, I love rap music. I don't like the dirty rap music that gets all weird, but I like clean rap music, and I know this is cliche where you're like, I like the beat. No, I actually do like the beat. Like, I always have a sub in my car. Like, I like the beat. It's cool. It makes me feel kind of like hard. I don't know. Like, it's cool, man. I like it. I was so like, that was a secret in Texas. It was a secret. Everyone liked country music, and I was like, I can't let them know I listen to rap. Like, some guys, I was like, yeah, let's jam. And then some guys, I was like, damn, 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 right? Like, I couldn't. Because why? I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be accepted. Now here is the big deal. Is that when we come before God, and some of you I think experienced this even last week, that when we come before God, that we believe that He sees us this way. That we ask the question, would He even accept me like this? Would He accept me like this? Would He be okay with me as I am? Like, would that be an okay thing? The reason is because we believe that our behavior and our belief has something to do with His acceptance of us. That's how we come before the throne of God, where we believe that our behavior and our belief, how strong we believe in God, has something to do with how much He accepts you. That's how we stand before God of like, God, did I behave enough? Did I believe right? Or do you accept me? And if you come to the truth of God's word, this is what I need you to hear tonight. If you come to the truth of God's word, this is not the way God sees you. Yet it's the way the rest of the world judges you. And so we assume this about God. And it's not the way he sees you. It's not how he cares about you. In fact, it's the total opposite. There's a story in the book of Acts 8 where we're going to kind of look at tonight. See, what I believe about Scripture, if you are unfamiliar with Scripture, is I believe it's powerful. And it has power to speak into every situation in every part of your life. And when it comes to this, we see some huge examples about how God is not like this. There's this man who's an Ethiopian man, and he was a eunuch. He did not know the Lord. He did his own thing. I mean, he worked for a high-up official. He had money. He had power. He did his deal. He's traveling down a road. The Lord calls this man Philip. So what you need to know is if you have Jesus in you, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you and can move in you and can direct you and guide you. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, hey, I need you to go down towards Jerusalem. And so Philip, right, sitting on his couch, hanging out, right? He's like, what? All right. And so Philip gets up and he starts walking down the road towards Jerusalem. He's just heading down the road. Not sure what he's going to look for, not sure what he's going to find. And you need to understand that's what God does is he calls you for a purpose. That if you are in Philip's position, you need to understand he never calls you to a place for no reason. That he calls you everywhere for a purpose. And so Philip got up and he starts walking. Well, he sees a chariot up in front of him. And it says the Spirit of the Lord told Philip. I think it's verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go and join the chariot. And so Philip said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to join the chariot. I'm going to go up to him. I realize now the purpose for me being on this road is I'm supposed to join that chariot. I don't know what the purpose of me joining the chariot is, but I'm going to join the chariot. And so this is just a little side note about obedience to the Lord, that sometimes it takes a first step to see where my second step is going to be, to know where my third step. That sometimes God calls us to places and people, even though we don't know the whole plan. He says, man, just trust me in the first step. And so Philip trusts him in the first step. It says that he joins the chariot, and this is what he hears. It says, when Philip, in verse 30, ran up, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? So he runs to the chariot, and his flip-flops and his robe, and he says, hey, man, like up in that chariot, I hear you reading, like, you know what you're reading? And the man says, how can I? Unless someone guides me. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And so you can just picture this. He's on this road. He's like, the Holy Spirit's like, go to that chariot. So he runs to the chariot and he hears him reading. He says, hey, man, you know what you're reading? He's like, no. The guy's like, hey, man, come on up. Like, tell me. Obviously, you know. It wasn't like, hey, what are you reading? It was like, yo, you know what that is? I know what that is. Do you know what that is? The man was like, bro, I can't unless you explain it. Why don't you come up and sit with me? And so now Philip was on his couch. And next thing you know, he's riding in a chariot telling someone about who Jesus is. It says the man was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, this guy Isaiah, God speaks to Isaiah. And Isaiah begins to lay out what it's going to look like when Jesus comes. And the part he's reading is about a lamb who went to be slaughtered and didn't cry. He didn't cry out. The lamb didn't beg. The lamb didn't make noise. It didn't kick. It didn't try to get away. The lamb went to the slaughter in silence. And the man says, he says, hey, the eunuch said to Philip, go on, next slide. And the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about, himself or someone else? And so obviously, the lamb was not a real lamb. It was a symbol of who Jesus would be and how he would die for us. How he would pay that bill for our sin. That he would go to the cross in silence. That he wouldn't cry for help. He wouldn't say that he was innocent. He wouldn't kick and fight. No, he would go willingly. This is important. That Jesus didn't go to the cross under restriction. That he was falsely accused. But yet he went willingly, knowing this was God's plan. And so Philip explains to this guy. He says, hey, he proceeds to tell him the good news about who Jesus is. Beginning with that scripture. So he begins to fill him all in about everything of who Jesus is and the role he can have in your life. It says that, goes on to the next. It says, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So they're traveling. He hears about Jesus. He has no time to even really walk in repentance. To really say, let me change my life. Let me change my behavior. Let me change all my beliefs and show you that I've changed my beliefs. No, what he hears about Jesus and what we heard last week is that Jesus calls those who realize that he is Lord and Savior to repent and be baptized. So he's driving by and he sees some water and he's like, "Yo, there's water?" I'm sure Philip was like, "Yeah, there is some water. What about it?" "Hey man, what would stop me from being baptized in that water? Like, what would stop me from doing that?" And that's the question I have for you tonight. That's the question I want to leave you with tonight. Is what is keeping you? For this man, it was what was keeping him from being baptized, but for you, what is keeping you from, and you can fill in that blank. See, what is keeping you from following him? What is keeping you from trusting him? Like, what is keeping you from trusting Jesus with your whole life? And maybe trusting Jesus for you, it might look like baptism. Like, what is keeping you from being baptized? Like, what's keeping you from that? Some of you last week, I believe that you felt like, man, I need to sign up for that. Like, that is something that I need to do. But what will people think of me? What will people say? See, it is something that sets us apart. And it says, hey, Jesus has died for my sin. Jesus has called me his. And for some of you, you had hesitation. And I'd encourage you to evaluate that hesitation. Is it your own guilt? Is it your own fear? What's keeping you from being baptized? Maybe following Jesus for you or trusting Jesus for you looks like prayer. What's keeping you from crying out to the Lord more often? See, some of you, if I said, hey, when's the last time you prayed? You'd be like, 6 months ago, right? Like, I kind of said, thanks for lunch, Lord. Like, when was the last time you really shared with God about your heart? Maybe for some of you, you've trusted Jesus and you've been baptized, but yet you aren't doing anything with that. Like, what's keeping you from stepping further and serving? What's keeping you from serving? From saying, okay, God, I want to be like Philip. God, I want to just follow the next step. Man, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Is that fear for you? Is that laziness? Is that busyness with things that maybe shouldn't keep you that busy? I want you to hear that. Is it busyness with things that maybe shouldn't keep you that busy? Like the things that are making you most busy, I need you to hear this. The things that are making you most busy, will they give you eternal life? Or will they give you a good grade? Will they give you eternal life or will they give you a scholarship? Will they give you eternal life? Will they give you a few more bucks in your pocket? Will they give you eternal life or will they simply give you someone to hold hands with? I'm not calling you to abandon your grades. I'm not calling you to abandon your sports or your relationships. I'm just asking the questions. What's keeping you from trusting in Jesus with your whole life? What's keeping you from, and you can fill in that blank, and I believe that blank the Lord will put on your heart. See, maybe it's that you don't come any other night, you just come on Sunday nights, and maybe you don't even read your Bible other times, you don't spend time with the Lord any other times, and you're just there. And for you, I would say, man, is that enough? Like, what's keeping you from being completely involved? What's keeping you from making the effort on a Wednesday night to come out? What's keeping you from making the effort on a Sunday morning? Like, what's keeping you maybe from even worshiping? That we stand and the band practices so that they could play with minimal error, so that when we stand here, your complete focus is on the sound of the music and on the words. Why? So that you could worship without distraction. Like, they get here at 4 o'clock. Can you imagine what your schedule would look like if you got here at 4 o'clock and stayed till 8:30? You'd be like, bro, I'd be having anxiety attacks because I couldn't get my homework done. Yet they do it. Why? Because they want you to have a meaningful worship experience. But yet, I need you to hear it. Sometimes we just stand here and we don't worship. Like, what's keeping you from worshiping? Is it insecurity of like, man, that person next to me doesn't know how bad my voice is? Like, is it a lack of concern with what God is doing? Like, what is it? Like, I would encourage you to start evaluating and identifying these things. See, here's what I believe is that God wants a whole lot more for you. And he has a whole lot more for you, but there's things that are keeping you from diving in completely. And I think you're missing it. See, if Philip would have hesitated, he would have never seen the chariot. And if he would have never seen the chariot, there's a man that was from Ethiopia going down to Jerusalem that would have never encountered Jesus in that day. That when we miss or hesitate, we miss what God is doing. And when you hesitate, you're saying, God, I don't trust you completely on this. We miss the blessing of following the Lord. And I believe there's blessing in being baptized and saying, I want to be obedient to that. But I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. See, here's the thing about how Jesus works. See, the world, this is the way the world accepts us. They say, and we just looked, right? They say that you have to behave, you have to believe, and you have to accept. But if you take this Ethiopian man, for example, who couldn't behave and couldn't believe, but just simply said, I'm trusting in Jesus, then it should tell you something about the way that Jesus sees you. And this is the way that we find acceptance in Jesus, is that number one, you are accepted. That number one, you are accepted. It doesn't matter about your beliefs. It doesn't matter about your behavior. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, you, your name, you personally, individually, not as a mass, not as a group. He said, Caleb, you individually, I am accepting you. Do you accept me? That if you're in here and you hear my voice, you need to understand that he says, you are accepted. That I love you deeply. That you carry shame and you carry guilt, but you need to understand it's not yours to carry. That's not from me, because you are accepted. He says, man, you are accepted. And check this out. It's in our acceptance that leads to our belief. That when we realize we are accepted, we start to explore the person who would accept someone as sinful as me. Someone who knows my deepest sins that no one else knows. And yet he says, I love you. In spite of that. And when our beliefs change, our behavior will change. See, what's interesting is if you believe you were good at football, you made the team, they accepted you onto the team, then guess what? You're accepted on the team, you believe you have some kind of value on that team. What's going to happen now? You're going to go to practice. Because you want to get better at being a part of the team that's already accepted you. And when it comes to Jesus, you need to believe that he's accepted you onto this team if you would put your trust in him. And he says, I know it. I know everything. I know it all, and I died for it all so that you would be saved. So that you would trust and know. See, what the eunuch did, he says, man, here's what it means and what it looks like to walk with Jesus. Check out what happens in this last verse, and we're going to wrap up with this. It says, so he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. It wasn't a process of like interviews. It wasn't a process of being good enough. It was simply a one man saying, I trust what Jesus has done for me, and I trust what Jesus is calling me to do, and I want to show the world I'm set apart. I want to show anyone else traveling to Jerusalem. I want to show Philip. I want to show my servants. I want to show the chariot drivers. I want to show the dang horses that are pulling the chariot that my life has changed, and I want to be set apart in that. So he ordered the chariot to stop, and he got out, and he got a no-resistance dunking. Where everyone would be like, why is that man letting that other man dunk him like that? And the only answer is because he has changed. That he is different. Something has happened. Why? Because he was accepted first. And the same is for you. Jesus has accepted you. And all of your filthiness. And all of the stuff that makes you want to be like, eh. And all of your insecurity and all of your inconsistency. And he says, man, I have accepted you. Do you trust me? And if you trust him, he's saying, will you be baptized and show the world that you trust me? See, this isn't about getting a lot of people to be baptized. This is about getting a lot of people to find the blessing in being obedient to the Lord. And I want you to experience that. And so I'm asking and encouraging, man, have you done that? Have you been baptized? And if not, man, we're going to sing a worship song here in a minute, and I'm going to encourage you, man, come sign up. But maybe for some of you before that, the question is, man, have you come to know Jesus? Have you truly placed your faith in him? That whether it's being baptized, whether it's trusting in Jesus, whether it's serving or worshiping or praying, here's what you might be saying is there will be a right time, but that right time just isn't right now. And here's what I want to tell you. That's a myth, that the right time will never come. If you're always waiting for tomorrow, there will always be a tomorrow, and tomorrow will never be today. The right time to let Jesus in is right now. That tomorrow came and it's today. That if you feel the Lord calling on your heart in one way or another, the right time to act on that is right now. It's not waiting for next week or next month or next year when you have things together, because you'll never have things together in a way you think that is going to be acceptable. It's realizing you've been accepted first. And so what is Jesus calling you to do? And what is stopping you from doing that? I'm asking you to bow your head and to close your eyes as we prepare to worship. Last week I had y'all raise your hand if, in just the privacy of us and you, if you're like, man, tonight I want to know Jesus and I want to place Jesus on the throne of my heart. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask one more time tonight. That if you're in here and you are saying, man, I realize tonight that it's my shame that has been stopping me and my guilt that has been stopping me. But I realize that it is God who has accepted me already and I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and even if you're in here and you're like, I don't really believe in this. I'm not really a part of this. I'm not really feeling this. Now I'm just going to ask you to do it in respect for the other humans around you. But if you know that the Lord is calling on your heart tonight, and you're like, yes, I want salvation. I want to be saved. Now I'm just going to ask you to raise a hand up. That if that is you and you're in here, that you would just put a hand up in the air and say, yes, that is me, and I want to know Jesus. And here's what you need to understand. If you put your hands up and you've done this before, that there's no, I got to clarify this, there is no wrong way to believe. You can't believe the wrong way. You either trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you don't. And if you've trusted in him before as your Lord and Savior, then you need to know that you do not need to come and be saved again. That he has saved you once and for all. But if you're in here and your hand is up and you say, yes, this is me. I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus. Now I'm just going to ask you to, with every other head bowed and every eye closed, that you would look at me. That you would just look up at me. I see you. I see you. You can put your hand up. I want you to remember today, it is the 20th. It is the 20th of October. It is the day that your life will forever be different. The Holy Spirit will enter you. God will be the Lord of your life, that you never have to walk alone. That this is your spiritual birthday, where you get to say, that my life was changed on October 20th of 2019. This is what you get to do. And so I'm going to invite you to just pray with me. It's a salvation prayer. It has no right words or special words, but what it is simply you saying, hey, God, I recognize that I am sinful and that you are a great Savior and I need you. Will you forgive me? So will you pray this prayer with me? God, tonight I recognize something very special, that you have accepted me in spite of my sinfulness. God, I recognize it's my sinfulness that separates me from you. So I'm asking you to forgive me as I place my faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection on the cross. God, I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life, that your Holy Spirit would enter me, and God, that you would guide my steps. I love you, God. Help me to walk with you. I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.